Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us tonight. And we're back to continue John's gospel, dealing with Christ and what he was doing after he had picked his disciples. And he chose them two by two, you know, and sent them out and give them instructions. But he says, you know, don't go to the Samaritans. And so in all this thing of going with going to Samaria, the disciples left Christ at the well, at Jacob's well, that he gave to Joseph, his son, all these years and years and years ago. And they had dug a well on this mesa that these Samaritans were living on. And they had kind of their own little country, like, almost there. And that the conversation, Christ was sitting at the well. He didn't have any way of drawing any water. And so this woman of Samaria come up with a rope and with a water pot. And she was going to draw her some water. And, of course, Christ asked her for a drink of water. She kind of quizzed him a little bit and said, well, why are you here without the implements to do it with? And he said, well, we're just moving through, but said, my people are going for food. And I'm just sitting here resting. And so the conversation went on from there. They spoke to each other about seven or eight times back and forth. And so evidently, she drawed the water. I'm not sure that he did. She drawed the water, and he gave her a drink of water. She gave him a drink of water, and said, well, we will thirst again with this water, the water that I have. And for you to drink, you can drink it. You won't need to drink anymore. She said, oh, I'd like to have some of that water. And he said, well, if you knew the scriptures, you'd get a pretty good idea of why I'm here and so forth. And so in the course of this conversation, when they were talking, well, he told her everything about her life. And she said, I perceive you're a man from God. So come to find out, after talking with her a little more, and she got her pot up and went back into town. I don't know how far it was, but I can tell you how deep the well is, because in the notes in the Companion Bible, it says in 1869, the well was measured, and it was 105 foot deep, and it had 15 feet of water in it. 2,000 years. Well, it had been there for 2,000 years now, and it still had water in it that way. And so she went in and told the people in town, said, this man He's got to be God. There. Said, he knows everything I've ever done. And the people there said, no, I don't know about that. I got to hear it for myself. And so the group of them went back out there. And he talked with them part of that day. And during that time that she went to town and come back, the disciples come up. And before she had left to go into town, they asked, Jesus said, why do you talk to this woman? That's against the rules.
Well, what the Jews had been meeting with the Samaritans.
And he said, I work where I can find them. And so when they come back out there and they heard him for themselves and they believed it, that he was the Messiah. And so he was talking to his disciples and he said, here, Jesus, take and eat. We went and got you something to eat. He said, I've eaten already. They looked around and said, who fed you? He says, well, that's my work. They had to get a little deal from that because they really didn't understand what he was talking about, what his work was. And then he told them, he said, my Father's work. He said, that's what I'm here for. And so he stayed with them 2 days. And the 2 days, you know, is usually a thing because, you know, a day is, and Peter said, he got from God, you know, he said 1,000 years for God is a day. And a day is 1,000 years. And so that ties into the end time stuff too. So now, after 2 days, he left and he said, I got to go back. And he was going back to Jerusalem and up to the temple. And so that's where we get into our study now, is while he was there, he went down toward Jerusalem to where they kept the sheep. And there was a pool down there and he met the man had been there for 38 years at the pool. To become healed if he got in the water when the waters were troubled. And so we went through a little bit of that. And so when Christ got there, he knew that this man had been there for 38 years. And he said, you've not been healed yet. He said, no. He said, I can't get in the water by myself, and said, I don't have anybody to put me in. And he said, well, I'm your man.
Yeah.
I am your salvation because that's my study lately, that Christ Jesus is salvation.
Yeah.
And so, he said, I'm your man. I said, do you believe that you can be healed? And he said, yes, I would like to be healed. And Christ told him, you've been here for 38 years? He said, yes. You haven't got in the pool yet? He said, no. He said, all right, where's you been? He said, right over there under the arches, over the water thing that brought the water down to the pool. And he says, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and these people saw him walking. He didn't get in the pool. Didn't say he got there.
They don't need to.
But then they got after Jesus are going to confront him. And they looked around and he wasn't there. And he had kindly went through the crowd. Now there was a multitude of people waiting there to get into the pool to try to become well again. Here's this man had his bed up on his shoulder and he said, who told you? He said, the man that hit me. He said, well, who is he?
Who said he can carry you?
But he said, I can carry my bed. And if he can heal me, I'm going to believe what he said. So I got my bed here. And they said, well, you know, it's against the Sabbath. Because there is a law that the rabbis had changed around somewhat and said you could not take anything on the Sabbath day from a public place to a private place or vice versa. You couldn't take something from a private place to a public place. Well, what does that tell you? If you're a pretty good student of the word, see, how do you dissolve this thing? Well, if you think about it a minute, you know, this is one of these therefores. It's therefore. And it was the Sabbath. It wasn't the weekly Sabbath day, but it was the Sabbath day because it was the time of the Passover was coming.
Passover.
And it was a high holy day. Okay. And so they said, well, we want to talk to this man. He said, well, I don't know where he's at. Well, it wasn't long. That same day, so Jesus come to him while he was in the temple telling these people that he had been healed. And so he said, okay, I'll tell you who I am. And he says, don't go any further with it than this, because if you get into trouble, and I have healed your infirmity, but you might get into some trouble that's worse than you had before. And so he didn't want these people taking out on this man what he had done for this man. And so that's where we are. And
probably kind of like it was with Lazarus they didn't kill Lazarus as bad as they did.
Absolutely. So verses, in John 5, verses, 19, let's start with 19 of chapter 5 of John, and 19 through 47, through the end of the fifth chapter of John. From here to the fifth chapter of John, it started with these people that wanted to crucify Christ. Well, actually, it started in the 17th verse. And I've got notes in my Bible from that are 40 years old or older. And so when I was with whoever it was that went over this, and I wrote in my companion Bible on page 1526, the 17th verse, and I said, from this point on, they're getting ready for the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to start at 19. Well, 17 and 18, you can go back and read it whenever you please. But here it deals with the Father and the Son and the relationship that's going on between these two, and it goes from Father to the Son and Son back to the Father, as you would play it out in, if you've been accused of something, as a trial. And so this is part of Christ Jesus' defense. And with the Father and the Son. In verse 19, we'll start there. And I'll do like I usually do. I will read it out of the King James. And then I will give you my notes. Because there's lots of notes in the companion Bible that other Bibles don't have. And I try to inject them in to the format as I go along to give it some clarity and give it some continuity that people might need whenever they listen to a tape or whatever. And so this is Jesus' defense. And it says in verse 19, let me get my... And he said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. It doesn't get much plainer than that, but, you know, let's look at it, because now they're saying, oh, this man's calling himself the Son of God.
Because he said God was.
Yeah. So he said, then answered Christ for his defense. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say, and if you want to look at that, I say there, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 51. Well, let's keep your finger there. Let's go back to chapter 1 and look at 51. Okay, it ain't but a few pages back. The last verse of chapter 1. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, he is saying of himself, or he's saying over here in verse 19, I see, and he was talking about the Son of Man. He was talking about himself. This is the fifth time here unto you. He says, I see his works were like his words. And there's another one in 7:16 of John, but we won't go there for the present time. It says, nothing. And I think that's a double negative, nothing nor. And in the Greek it's ooting, a double negative. Nothing. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, and that's a full stop. For what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these are the Son's does likewise, or really in like manner. So the pickup here is I only do what the Father gives me to do, and what he gives me, I see him do, I can do also. So this is a defense here between the Father and the Son. So he says, if the Father can do it, I can do it. Okay, that's verse 19. So let's go to verse 20. So, we get to verse 20 and it says, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, full stop. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Well, if we go back to 151, if you read again what it says there, that you can see angels ascending and descending from heaven to earth. And so, that's another thing that you can see if you understand and believe God and his word. It says, for the Father loveth, and that loveth there is filio, like Philadelphia, but it's Philly, the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, full stop. And he will show him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works. And the greater works there is the Greek word teleo, than these that you may marvel. So if you see those things that were mentioned in 5:151, how can you not but marvel if you're looking at something there in early BC of angels going without any problems from one sphere of God's world to the other one and back?
Round, round, yeah.
How could you explain that to somebody at that point in time? I think it would be very hard to do. So, this is another part of the defense here. In verse 21 says this, for as the Father raises up, okay, he goes now from seeing or doing what the Father does, that he himself could do the same. And then we get into resurrection. And oh boy, will this blow some people's mind. Because, you know, there's some that don't believe in resurrection. Yeah. So, for as the Father raiseth up, and, or awakeneth, and, the Greek word is, egerio, and, out 178, Roman numeral 1-4, that he can awaken the dead and quickeneth or give life to the dead corpses of appendage 139:1. Once in John, it says it's used once in John only here, but twice in other parts. And it says, then universally believed by that, it was universally believed by the Jews. Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. So again, here's the combination between the two. If the Father can make alive or quicken those, and he can raise the dead, the Son can do the same thing. As one doeth, the other can do. And so that's his defense of being who he said he was. But then things change a little bit in verse 22. It talks about, from 22 to 24, it talks about judgment. Oh. So we read in, if we go to Revelations, we read that the books were closed and nobody could open the books but one being.
One was worthy.
One that was worthy. Okay, so is this one worthy? Let's see what it said about it. Let's read verse 22. It says, for the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Full stop.
Yep.
Whoa. Okay, here's another eye opener, if you will. Here's one of these beholds. It's not written there, but, you can't help but see it. It says, for the Father judgeth no man. For not.
I remember the first time when we were going over John and Larry. I remember the first time that really hit me.
Well, this might have been where.
Maybe.
Might have been where I got these. But hath given or committed all Christus or judgments unto the Son. Full stop. And judgments is one of the characteristic words of this gospel. And it says, see, app 122. So if you got a companion, look at appendix 122. If you don't have, well, I'll just read it to you in just a second here when I find. App 122. Just passed it. No. 122. His synopsis words for judge or condemned or so forth. And 122:1. Crano. to judge use of a legal or other decision. Generally translated judge, sometimes determine or conclude, and it also can mean to examine with a negative sense, or to ask no questions. So, the judging is to be done by the Son. You know, it tells us in Scripture that the seventh day God rested. Well, you remember the 2 days that we just talked about, that he was over there. That could somewhat substantially fill in a lot of this time that has happened for 2,000 years after they put Jesus to death on the cross. And then a little. And now, if the Father is going to rest today, well, he's giving or making up the scenario for Christ being the centerpiece in our day and age now. You ever thought about that? Judgment still for Christ. I think when a person dies, it's a believer. I think he or she, and I saw it with my own eyes to a point. I was holding my wife's hand, and she was holding mine, and we were holding each other's. And when she breathed her last breath of life, she just turned that hand loose. I think that is when the Holy Spirit took whatever it was that he needed to carry to Christ, who sits at the Father's right hand. Whatever he needed to give her life again, he took.
Yeah.
Couldn't do anything about it. Not even if I wanted to. Still couldn't do anything about it.
Out of our hand.
I had to accept that.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's where we are today. So, let's look at more of this judgment. In 23, it says this, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which had sent him.
I bet they didn't want to hear that.
No, they didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And they say, well, wait a minute here now. What can we do about this? This man says he's the Son of God. And he's here for judgment, to judge. And he's here for resurrection, because he's already mentioned that. Also, what the Father can do, the Son can do. Okay. And it also says that men should honor the Son even as, and that word in the Greek is Catholics. They honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which is sent him. So, if the Son is salvation, then where does that put you?
What he literally was saying is, you say you honor the Father.
Yeah.
But if you don't honor me, you don't.
You don't honor the Father.
So that's another thing.
Yeah, so, where does that put him?
Yeah.
Dude. So,
All things are just mad.
All of this was written, for a reason. Because he understood where he was here in all this, but he's still not going to be taken for another chapter or two and put on the cross. Because he has to go through this, all this deal, Pontius Pilate.
A lot of scripture has to be fulfilled.
And it has to be fulfilled. He has to feed the multitudes and do all these things before.
Finish the work.
The work is to be done. Okay, so he says, if the Father works, so works. So, let's go to 24. Still in judgment now. In the judgment words. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, this is the sixth occurrence already in chapter 5 of John. He that heareth my words, in the Greek is the logos, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting or aionios life. That is salvation, friend.
Age abiding life.
Yeah. And it shall not come into condemnation. You're only going to be raised one time. And it better be the good one. Otherwise, the fire is going to come. It's going to destroy mankind. Then we got another one that follows that in 25. This carries the same kind of context with it. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, this is the seventh occurrence. The hour, or an hour, is coming. You can look, find this. And this is dealing with resurrection. In figure 6, for a definite and special time, which now is, because if had the nation, the Jews, repented, all that the prophets had spoken would have been fulfilled according to Acts 3:21, including the resurrection foretold in Ezekiel 37 and Isaiah 26:19 and other places. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And the Son of God there in the app is 98XV15. This title is associated with resurrection, as in verse 27, which is judgment, is with the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. And there is a note on 450 on page 1524. Let's look back to 450. Name it two or three pages. And it's a kind of a short verse, but there's a lot to it. It says, Jesus said unto him, this was the man that met Jesus and said, Lord, if thou come, and he was going to the temple from Jerusalem, and he said, my son, or my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way, and as he was now going down, his servants met him, everywhere you go in the Holy Land, the temple in Jerusalem is generally up and everything else is down because they went to the highest place to build the temple. Okay? And he said, and he was now going down, and his servants met him and told him, said, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, this was 1 p.m., he said, thy fever left him. Okay. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Full stop. And himself believed and his whole house. So, John here in his book is making very good statements about what he heard and saw, or especially what he had been told. And that's important because just like the man at the well, he didn't have to get in the water. Well, Jesus didn't have to leave where he was going to heal this man or to bring life back to his son. Just a while before this, a few days before this, in terms of where they were. Okay, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, seventh current, the hour or an hour is coming figuratively, now is. For a definite and special time. Now is. Because if had the nation, which is the Jews, repented, all that the prophets had spoken would have been fulfilled according to Acts 3:21, including the resurrection foretold in Ezekiel 37 and Isaiah 26:19, and we just read one of the others. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And the Son of God is Appendix 98, XV15. This title is associated with resurrection as in verse 27, judgment is with the Son of Man. And they that hear shall live. See the note, the Son liveth. That's what you need to know or pick up from this. The Son liveth. As God told this man, he said, your son liveth. He had already made that provision for that son to receive his life back at that time. Now, I know it was done for a reason and for a plan and for a purpose and a place. But the next one down, is 26. And it talks about life. For as, even as, in the Greek, it is the word hosper, the Father hath, he giveth, in eternity past, giveth life in himself. So hath he given the Son to have life in himself. As one has, so does the other have. It's the same thing. You cannot separate the Father and the Son, and you find out that when the Son and the Father are separated, the Son is in the ground for 3 days and 3 nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale.
Amen.
And when he comes forth, we all need to understand that he is salvation, and he can give salvation because it is given unto him to have this salvation, along with that Holy Spirit that does the work and takes whatever it is that they need back to Christ, where he sits beside his Father in the throne room of the heaven of heavens. And when he was there with them for the 43 days, and he was seen of at least 500 or maybe more before he went back up into heaven, and he is there and has been there since. We haven't heard anything from him, but the Son we do hear from. And the Father is resting. If this is his time to sit there and do nothing, or to allow the Son to take over this universe that we have, well, I think the Son has to prove again to the Father, even after he went to the cross, that he did what he was supposed to do. Now let's get to 27. Goes back to judgment again. Now let me read 26 again. Whereas, even as the Father hath he given in eternity past, given life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, as one has, so does the other half. Verse 27 then. And hath given him, Jesus, the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man come to redeem the Son of Man, the sons of men. Well, that should not be very hard to understand. And the Father hath given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment also.
It took a man
to redeem mankind.
And also the cause he had been where they are. He knows mankind because he was one.
Yeah. Okay.
For a few short years.
And the Greek word, I think, is ekousia. Ekousia. Out from. To execute judgment also. Because he is the Son of Man. He has been there, and he had to do this because he and the Father agreed that they would do it, but it was a reason for it because he now has become the salvation of man that was getting their hope from other people's hopes, which they did not accept. Now, verse 28. It said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Woo! He's still got it pushed in. He's tightening it up a little bit more. Marvel not at this. Why? For the hour, or an hour, the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves, the tombs, shall hear his voice. Therefore, this is in the notes in the companion Bible. Therefore, they are not in heaven or hell.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 29. This again is dealing with judgment. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
The resurrection of the just and the unjust.
The just and the unjust, yeah. See, when God created man and he set him out here, and he set him out here with all this evil that Satan had begun, and he didn't do exactly what God wanted him to do anyway, even after giving him reign or rule over those things that were in the earth. And so, this is the judgment thing. And he didn't build Adam a house. Adam had to make his own abode where he lives. And God told him, well, you're going to have to pick fruit and all these things from things that will freaking stick you. The sticker. The bees has got the stingers and all this thing. You know, you put up with all that stuff. And so, for his failure, where he failed in the Garden of Eden. Let's look at 29 again. And shall come forth they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have kept those that done good were the ones that tried to keep the law, and they that done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There goes, but they come up there even if they weren't going to live.
Yeah, this is not a general resurrection of everybody on the earth, I believe. This is the resurrection of the just and the unjust that Paul talks about to the Pharisees that they themselves believe. This is also the resurrection that Mary said that I believe when Christ came to Mary when Lazarus was dead. She said, I believe that he will live again in the resurrection at the last day. The only resurrection they understood at this point in dispensational history, I believe, was the resurrection of Ezekiel 37 and Isaiah 20.
Absolutely.
Isaiah that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It was all Christ came to his own. It was all about his own. It was all to his own. It was all for his own.
Absolutely. And we'll get to 30 and we'll call it off again. And it'll be at least one more study or maybe two before we get to the end of John. And he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent
me. Beautiful verse. Beautiful verse.
Absolutely. He knew what was before him.
I'm going to judge, but I judge according to my Father's will. Yeah. It ain't my will, it's His will. I mean, how much more beautiful does it get?
And He understands what they're thinking about who He is or what He is or what He's supposed to be or what He's saying that He is. And they're still out to get Him for this. And He says, I can of mine own. In 30, I can of my own self or my own will. I can do nothing, full stop. So, He knows what His job is. But He says, I have my limitations. And my Father has limited me to this. And so, He has, or is being judged.
Judges according to the will of the Father.
It's for all.
Yeah.
But He says, as I hear, I do, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, Him, which sent me. Okay, so we're down to verse 31, and we'll stop there for this day. And pick it up again next time. And we'll deal with proof and witnesses of works. And we'll go on from there. We get down to 31 and we got to 47. So, we got about two more studies to go here where we get through, the book of John. But he deals with John's witness. This is what we're fixing to get into. Into John's witness and then to the Father's witness. And then we go from there. The Scripture's witness. And we go back to Father's witness again, and then to Moses' witness. So, he didn't leave no stone unturned when he was talking about the situation between his Father and himself. And he's laying it all out here by others that witnessed these things. And John now is going to be picked up in this way.
Well, we find out from just what he said here, we find out tons about the relationship that he has with the Father and what the Father has appointed him to do and how they work in tandem to bring about the Father's will.
Oh, yeah.
Like the nation of Israel. All this, you got to remember, I think, is still relative to the seed of Israel because yeah. Early in John, especially, as the history goes, that's who he told the disciples, don't go to the Samaritans or any city of the Gentiles, any of you not. Go ye to the lost sheep,
house of Israel.
This is all, at this point, it's all too foreign about them, even though it's in the Gospel of John, if Christ said it, it's to them. What we got to watch for is what John the narrator says. Because he takes what Christ did and explains how that applies to those that read the gospel.
Yeah, well, see, here, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. So that's still before him.
Yeah, that's
and all that's still before him.
Yeah.
And so, once that's Once that part of that gets settled, you get into the finishing the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Then it changes back. That's the reason I call him Christ Jesus, because after he's here, he's not going back until the Father says, "You come on back,"
mm-hmm.
and you can rest. You can take rest with me for this little period of time, and then when you do come back, things.
Well, you remember even Stephen during Acts said, "I see Jesus standing up for a while."
Yeah.
That's good. Good point. Good stuff.
Absolutely. So we'll pick it up there and go on with it. But there was just so much here that I couldn't just lay it down after we went through. And I know it's coming up with Christmas, and it's coming up with the things with all the animals and all this you see and all this stuff which this is not the birth of Christ. This was something that Satan put out there to try to cover up that. And I honestly believe that. But still, you know, it gives you the great idea that he's not doing this of his own volition. He's doing it because the Father asked him to do it. And so that's where the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important, I think, that we get to understand that and to realize when Christ said, I'm going to leave you, but you stay here until the Comforter comes. Because when the Comforter comes, then that's his connection to the people on earth and gives them the connection to him who sits in the heavenly places.
Amen.
And that's the way I look at that, to understand that. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll continue this on, and hopefully we'll get in a couple of more studies. We'll get through the book of John. But anyway, I thought it was very necessary that it be told how it came about. And when he got that man and looked at him and he said, "Arise, get your bed and go." He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was turning the screws on these people to get them to do what it was that they had to do for him to take care of the sins of mankind.
Yeah.